Alright, so let us begin the sixth shar, the sixth gate in the Shari Kiddusha, in the first chelik, in the first part.
Now
this is a wonderful chapter in that Rav Chaim Vital is going to lay out for us an entire day of how a day in the life of a person who has reached the Madrega or is working towards reaching the Madrega of being Hasid, of being pious, meaning going beyond just the letter of the law, but looking to truly dedicate himself in terms of his service of Hashem. So, Rav Chaim Vital tells us that he's going to include in a shortened form all that was mentioned in the gates from before, and he's going to explain and clarify for us an order of the way a chassid, a way a pious person should act throughout the day. Including all his various deeds that he should be doing throughout his entire life, and so forth and so on. So this hopefully will be a shiur that we can look at in the future over and over again as far as how we should prosper as pious Jews. Says, listen, my son, to my voice, to all that I'm going to command to you. You should prepare yourself to call out to your God, the God of Israel, in every single evening when it comes time to go to sleep. Zahor, ki hi mita ktana maskircha mita gdola amitit. Going to sleep in the evening is a small death, Rav Chaim Vital tells us. That small death, the Gemara telling us that it's 1/60th of death, should be for us a reminder of the true great death that comes at the end of our days. Those days, God willing, should be many, all healthy and well, and prosperous in the service of God. With that mind, remembering the days, that there will be an end set before us. Look now at this past day. V'im yesh behem ra'im, hitvadeh lehem, shechen derech hamumatim mitvadim. He should then admit his sins that have occurred during that day, if there should be such, because this is the way of a person on his deathbed, when he stands or he's laying on those moments before his leaving this world. He admits his sins before Hashem and does tshuva, he repents. Therefore, that evening when a person is going to sleep, it's the moment for him to experience a sense of death, a sense of the end drawing near, and the need to say one's sins before God and beg his forgiveness. Utkabel alecha ol malchut shemayim b'kriyat shema shel amita la'alot mishmatcha be'echad. And he should accept upon himself the yoke of heaven when he says the Kriyat Shema, when he reads the Shema Yisrael that is read in the evening prayer. There's a special prayer that we say before going to sleep every evening. This special prayer turns our evening of sleep into a service of God in itself. And we begin that process of turning sleep into something which is holy by taking now upon ourselves the yoke of heaven and accepting on ourselves that Hashem is over us in all things and that we are His servants and that our entire existence is for the single purpose of fulfilling His will and revealing His name in the world. And that when we say Ehad, when we pronounce the oneness at the end of the Shema Yisrael, that moment, that we should have our thoughts directed to the idea that our souls will be taken up above. V'achakach hafked ruchacha biyado yibarach l'pasuk biyadcha hafkid ruchi. And then, with the end of the Seder, with the end of the order of the evening prayer that's said now before our going to sleep, there's a pasuk, biyadcha hafkid ruchi, with, in your hand, I place my soul for you to keep and to hold, to watch over for me. That at that time that we have this kavanah, that as our soul elevates, that it is taken into the possession of Hashem to be watched over during the evening. Kinyan hamita amitit, just like true death, shne'emar baba ruach tashuv elokim. That at the time of death, our spirit returns to God. Omnam, however, ata mita ktana tena lo b'torah t'pikadon nachzira lecha chadashim lebekarim lifkarim metim. But in this particular death, it's not a permanent death, and we are handing over our souls as a package to be guarded by a Kadosh Baruch Hu for return in the morning. For return to our physical and near dead bodies that are in the state of sleep. Going to sleep should be a declaration of emunah, of faith, and bitachon, and trust in Hashem. That He is faithful in His returning of the soul, and our bitachon, our trust in Him, in His returning it. Ushchav de'ema, and a person then should lay down with a sense of fear, v'yira, and awe. Ki hine ruchacha ola latet din v'cheshbon liyotzrecha akol ma'asecha v'dvorecha v'mashavotecha b'yom ahu. And why should he have this fear and awe? Because his spirit is now going to go before the heavenly courts above, and there will be an accounting of all that which he did, and all that which he spoke, and all that which he thought on that day. Hashem knows no bounds. For there's no bounds to Hashem, and His ability to perceive into our deepest thoughts. Thoughts which lead ourselves into the wrong path are in themselves a form of sin. We have to guard our minds as much as we guard the outward expression of our thoughts through our physical deeds and our speech. In particular, this is in connection with improper sight, which incites these thoughts. Therefore, a person must guard himself throughout the day for this moment in the evening. For it's this moment in the evening where his soul will go before Hashem and all things will be accounted for. ולכן אל יפנה לך בדיבור או בהורים בטלים עד אשר תישן ותרדם בפחד הנזכר. Therefore it is proper that the evening time, once a person has said the Kriyat Shema, he has said the evening Shema Yisrael, that there should not be talk and there should not be thoughts on things which are of an unimportant nature, things which are not directed heavenwards, until one goes to sleep with a sleep of fear that was mentioned. It means to say that a person should make the last thing he does in the evening his reading of the Shema. And from the time that he reads the Shema, he shouldn't make any hefsek. He shouldn't make any interruptions. It should be that he goes directly to his bed. If he finds that he can't sleep, for example, what then a person should do? He should think over various pieces of Torah that he learned during the day, or think over perhaps Mishnayot that he might have memorized. At the very worst situation, that a person should go ahead then and look over a sefer, look over something that is of kedusha, of holiness, that shouldn't be that his going to sleep is a slumber that comes about through narishkeit, through unimportant things. The sleep itself is to be also a service of God. That's what it means to be pious. Doesn't mean falling asleep in front of a television. Doesn't mean falling asleep to the latest rock and roll songs. It means that sleep itself has to be something serious and important in one's life. It's also important that a person sleep. If a person, if he's zarez, if he's particular to go to sleep early, then he's going to be able to be zarez, he's going to be able to be motivated to be able to get up early. One's entire life often revolves around one's ability to sleep and rise on a good schedule. There's no question that the importance here of having a positive schedule in order to be able to move towards piety, there's no question that the emphasis here could never be as strong as it needs to be. V'chasher takitz mishnatecha achar chatzot laila, kum maher bizizut, kal kenesher. When a person awakens in the evening, after chatzot, meaning after the halachic midnight, he should rise with zeal, light like the eagle. There is a very specific problem with the snooze button from a Torah perspective. Think in these terms. A person gets up in the morning. One issue is that when he immediately gets up, he needs to wash his hands. When he first wakes up, there's a certain tuma, there's a certain impurity that exists on his fingers. If he smacks right away the snooze button, what's going to happen then? There's a certain tuma that goes onto it. So that's a practical thing in terms of halacha. But beyond that, there is the very idea that you've wakened. Your soul has been returned to you. It means that a person should awaken, he should jump from his chair. Wow! Unbelievable! Another day has arrived. My opportunity to serve Hashem is here. When a person starts a day by bearing down on his yetzer hara, by bearing down on his desire to snooze, that day is another day altogether. That day is exciting, it's vibrant. When a person awakens and immediately takes control of himself, he knows that that day will be a day of directed, controlled passions for God. Passions for the mitzvot. It's a day where things will happen and move. Know then that if you make the morning a time of vibrance, and there's no question that this is difficult, there's no question that this is something which is particularly difficult. I'm not just talking about, because perhaps what we're going to see in a moment, that the number of hours happens to be very short and therefore it's difficult, but you'll find that even after a long number of hours of sleeping, where a person for sure has satiated his need to sleep, there still is that yetzahara in the morning that tries to draw a person away from rising quickly out of his bed and being prepared for a day in the service of Hashem. Orchotz yadecha kedin ukshura la'avir ruach ra mibesarecha. So the first thing, therefore, a person should do when he rises up is that he should wash his hands according to the halakha, and he should remove the ruach, the spirit of tuma that takes place on the fingertips when a person rises. I mean, that's where it's left. When a person sleeps and his soul leaves his body, as we said, it's 1/60 of death. There is a departing of much of one's soul. There still is a connection to his body, even in the evenings. But the parts of his body then, which are now void of the presence of his soul, then are a place where tuma, where forces that are not of a clean and pure nature can take their hold on him. And therefore, when he wakes up in the morning and his soul is placed back inside of him, it pushes out all of that tuma, but there still is something left on the tips of one's fingers and the tips of one's toe tips. So therefore, getting up in the morning and washing away, washing in one's hands and removing that tuma is the first step in purifying oneself in order to serve God. That in addition to just having zeal and passion to serve our Creator, it is fundamentally important that we also purify ourselves. This immediate first mitzvah of the morning is a good reminder of that. That when we wash our hands and remove the spirit of tumah that exists on the fingers, that we also internalize the idea that we need to also be pure. On a physical sense, that means to say that we cannot allow ourselves to indulge physically beyond that which is needed for ourselves. On an emotional state, it means that we have to have control of our relationships. That we don't allow ourselves to sink away into some dependency on others and some dependencies, some dependencies on various emotional jolts in order to make us work and move. It has to be that our emotional need is satisfied through our emotional attachment to a Kaddish Baruch Hu first and foremost. There's no question that there needs to be a connection between a husband and wife, between one's children and so forth. But all of that has to be done. All of that emotional connectivity has to be done within the framework of one's relationship to Hashem. Purifying oneself is the start of that process. On a mental level, beyond the emotions and the physics, there is the aspect of purity of thought. And I don't just mean purity in terms of tumah, which we've spoken about before, but there also is an aspect of purity in terms of truthfulness, in terms of not lying to ourselves, in terms of being honest in our studies and our approach to life and in moving forward. That we investigate each and every direction that we're moving in to ensure that that is a direction that is within the fold of God's will. That we ensure that we're serving God the way that God asked us to serve Him, and not the way that we desire to serve Him. So when we prepared ourselves now and removed tuma from ourselves, then what? V'ten lo beracha v'shevach v'hoda'al al nemanato yitborach shelo ikev et ruchacha al rov avonecha v'loyta zo mita rucha amitit. He should give blessing and he should give praise and he should give a tremendous thanks on the trustworthiness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he did not hold back his spirit because of all of his many sins, and that this was not the extended death, that even the smallest of sins should really have warranted him, because no matter what the sin is, be it small or great, it's still a rebellion against the Creator. A rebellion against the King, no matter how small, no matter how large, really in truth, should warrant a death penalty. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tremendous, tremendous in His forgiving. Tremendous in His compassion and His slowness to anger. Tremendous in His giving over to the Jewish courts the ability to take judgment into their hands so that judgment shouldn't go before the courts in heaven. There's no ending to the gratitude that we must show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He returns to us this soul that we had in the previous day. Omnam, however, Echzir Neshamot Lifkarim Metim V'yoter Mechudesh V'chazakam B'rishona. And not only does the Kadosh Baruch Hu return to us our souls to these bodies that are dead without the soul, that without a Kadosh Baruch Hu's investment of His holiness in us, we'd be nothing. We'd be dead. We'd be nothing more than a light bulb without electric. And not only that, He returns it with greater strength than when He took it. There's a renewal of one's spirit and being that happens over the evening. How often does a person go to sleep spent? I'm not just talking physically spent, but emotionally spent, spiritually spent, and wake up the next morning lucid and well and charged, ready to make this a different day. Gift of God. When you seize that moment, as we said before, and make that waking in the morning, making it a moment of control over one's desires to just go back to sleep and snooze, to hit the snooze button, when you take control then and there, then what? Then this day becomes powerful. And you are riding on that new energy that the Kadosh Baruch Hu has given to your soul over the evening when you slept. These praises and all that which we're talking about is key. Uluman lo tiye kafoy tova imo, so that a person shouldn't be one who what? Who is thankless to all that which his Creator did for him. Now, in awakening with all this energy and realizing what wonder HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us in our waking another day in this world, Hitzter agalut shchinat uzo v'chorban mikdasho be'et shu mitzter al zeh bashmurot. Now in this evening time, before daybreak, for when Rav Chaim Vital talks about awakening in the morning after Chatzot, he's talking about awakening after midnight and before dawn, about breaking the moments of evening before the morning, taking there and that time then to remember the exile of the Shekhinah, the exile of God's presence into the world, of the necessity that Hashem's holiness must be present outside with the Jewish people. For in sending out the Jewish people to all the places of the world, God's presence went with them to protect them, to interact with them. That in all places that we should recognize God's existence, His Shekhinah there went. And if that's the case, we have to think that it's our fault that this had to happen. It's our fault that the revelations of God happen on foreign land and not on the land of Israel, not on the land of the Jewish people. That's our fault that holiness isn't concentrated and centered in the Beit HaMikdash, in the Holy of Holies, that there isn't a blasting light from a single pinnacle point in the world. That's a tragedy. The fact that all greatness and grandeur isn't coming from one single point means that in this world, people can be found in dark places where little sparks of light seem to float around, and he can be led through his own Yetzer Hara to believe that there exist other forces in this world not controlled by God. Whereas if everything was concentrated in one place, there would be no question in everyone's mind. That revelation, that grandeur, that point that all of us can turn to in an almost tangible fashion, torn away because of our sins. Completely counter to the very purpose of this universe. The revelation of God's unity in that all of his midot, all of his traits are unified in his one single existence. All that becomes difficult to see without the Beit HaMikdash being there. And why? Ki avonotecha va'avonot avotecha hitu elev va'adayin lo ekimu v'nifilata v'im kozeh lo hishkiach l'maseh harim shegaramta l'nifilata v'ata nafata l'amita v'kimchak v'atchila b'yetiset. That because of your sins and the sins of your fathers, all this is that way. And still things have not been lifted up and returned. With all that which we've done wrong, we owe thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's come all the way out to us in the outskirts, where we've placed ourselves at a distance, and he still guards our soul. He still guards us despite all that which we were the cause of. And that he returned us again to this world. Even though the fact that every single day that the Beit HaMikdash has not been created again, has not been reconstructed, it's as if it was destroyed. Means to say that we're still flowing and moving in the same direction of sin as our forefathers were. Nevertheless, he returns us again to this world. He allows us one more opportunity. V'lo'od, ela shetizkeh l'nechamat Zion, sisu ita masos kol ha-mitablim aleha. Not only that, that he gives you one more opportunity to be consoled with the fact that there will be a future and that it will happen. That the loss is not complete and total and that there will be a future. And he lets us know this, and he has let us know through the prophets and others. After breaking one's heart in truth, a person will find himself walking out with happiness. If you've truly felt the pain that is caused, not just individual, but to the entire world and universe, at the destruction of the temple, you can then walk out with the consolation, with the hope and trust that again it will happen soon, that it will be reconstructed, and that things again will resurface again, and all will be placed in order. With that thought, with a renewal of faith and trust in God, in the future, the bright future that exists for us, says God has returned us once more to this world again, therefore telling us that there is hope for us. Therefore, what? Achakach tasok b'torah shvape al ora boke im tuchal ki al yideken atam horid elea shefa umachzika biyotah nefula. Then what? Then go and learn God's Torah. Learn his oral Torah. And in the evening time now, after Chatzot in particular, the Sodot of Torah, or Mishnayot, if a person is not zochet to that, until the morning comes. if that's possible for him to completely break his desire to sleep all the way into the morning. How wonderful to connect to this moment, to this sweet moment of the evening, when a person has completely broken himself and connected himself to the sorrows of the Shekhinah, and connected himself, therefore, also to the hopes of the future, that he then connects to what we can of God's will, His Torah. It says that a person who rises at Chatzot, who rises at midnight, and that he breaks himself, as we've discussed, and he then is osek in Torah, he then sits and learns. It says there's a chut shel chesed. There is a thread of kindness that surrounds that person. Because in his awakening and showing here the greatest of thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by truly connecting to him and having chesed for the Shekhinah, having kind thoughts for the presence of God, feeling its pain, he therefore merits that he should also be zoche, he should also be able to have a day of chesed, a day of kindness, a day of merit. An uplifting day that will be successful. Ovalot ha-shachar rutz l'krata el bet tfilata ki kvar kadma hi l'cha levo sham lishmoa el harina v'latfila ha-shet palel ha-kimam nifilata ulachzira l'tzion kivatchila. Now he should, in the breaking of dawn, run to pray to his Creator, to hear the praises and the songs of the future rebuilding and the rising up of all that which has fallen. Because in the service of prayer, we elevate that which is in the physical into the spiritual. In the times of the Beit HaMikdash, we had the korbanot, we had the sacrifices. In their place today, our prayers perform that same service by uplifting the mundane, by using our mouths, which are used for daily talk between each other, for the praises of Hashem. We lift up that which is physical, and we move towards this hope and future. הקם בני יהיו רעיון לך נכונים בתכלית הכוונה ושמחה בעת שתתפלל לקימה ולגמור חסד עם כונך. It should be that all a person's prayers should be with kavana, meaning they should be directed properly, and they should be with simcha, with happiness. Happiness and hope. Happiness and the desire that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should lift up the Shekhinah and bring it to Tzion. That's the purpose of prayer. But lo letzorach shel otecha, it shouldn't be that all of the prayers are just for the question of what you need. There shouldn't be prayers of I. ובפרט בעת שתתוודא לפניו ואחר תפילת שמונה עשרה. In particular, when a person comes to the time after Shmoneh Esrei of admitting his sins, over birchat shomea tefillah, or at the time of shomea tefillah, which is one of the blessings of the Shmoneh Esrei, when we can insert our own prayers, yeh bechol levavecha shelo tachzur od aleihem. It should be that a person during that time, that he should have in his heart that all of his sins, that he should never return to them. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the hidden and the revealed. He knows all that which stands within a person's mind and thoughts. And that when a person then, when he goes and says the Tachnunim, that at that time he should give over his whole soul, his whole being, his whole being should be given over for death even, for the sake of the Torah and the mitzvot, with a complete dedication of everything that he is doing in the service of his prayers for the sake of heaven. And if in fact and in truth your heart and your soul and your words are all in line, then all your sins will be forgiven. A person then goes about his day, and he has to ensure though that he sets time for learning of Torah, that when he sets aside a time that he is going to learn, that at this and this time, that's the time for a shir, I'm going to be there, I'm going to learn, that nothing should be in a person's way, nothing should hold a person's back. Nothing should hold him back from learning and being there at that time. One of the questions that's asked in heaven is, did you set aside times to learn? Did you set aside time from your busy schedule to see what I wanted from you? In that reward, we will see a return of godliness to Zion, and that we will all be zoche to be able to participate in the holy assembly of Chachamim and learn and drink from their sweet words. Achakach tasog tisod sudatcha pat b'melach u'mayim b'mesura ki tzadik ochel l'sova nashol l'kiyum ha'nefesh. Then a person should eat his meal, bread and salt and water, meaning that he should restrict his meal to that which he needs. For the tzaddik, for the righteous, they eat for what they need to survive. They eat to fulfill God's will, not for the sake of momentary pleasure. Va'af kam zeh l'shem shemayim liyot chazak l'avodato yitbarach. And even that little bit that a person eats just to be able to survive and exist, that should be in order to strengthen himself to serve his Creator. In all your ways you should know him. Meaning in all the various things that a person does throughout the day that he needs to do for his simple survival and existence in the world, those things should be where he knows God. The day in those places, that those places should be where he learns most about his need to serve God. That whatever it is he needs it only for that purpose. V'amod be'ema al shulchancha hanimshal el hamizbeach ki al shulchan hamelech ata ochel. And a person should stand with fear by his table, which is considered to be like the mizbeach, it's considered to be like the altar, because you're eating at the table of the king. Everything that stands there because of his grace, because the Kaddish Baruch Hu granted you the parnasa, granted you the means to be able to set out that table, to put the food there, to eat. Everything is because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a gift from Him. And when you're dedicating that food that is there for the sake of holiness, what you're doing is you are making it elevate, just like one would elevate the fats and the bloods and the altars. ולמען יהיה שולחנך מזבח כפרה לכפר עוונותיך והמעיט מאכלך להשליש הקליפה אשר במזון שנפשך ניזון בו. And in order so that also this should be a mizbeach, an altar, not just the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but also a forgiveness, a person should limit his food for a moment in order to weaken his physical desires for everything that's there. And he should then, ta'asok b'torah, ezo mishnah mizmor. When you hold back for a moment, and then be osek in learning, in Torah, in a little bit of praise of God. That it should be that this is what's called out, that this is the table that is before God. We weaken the koach, the power of the Yetzirah over you by constantly keeping it in check, by restricting yourself. תתחזק נפש השכלית שבך על ידי התורה שהיא מזון הנפש הזו גם היא. And he should strengthen his thinking soul, where we said is the seat of all the desires to fulfill the 613 mitzvot. He should strengthen that by way of the Torah that he now learns with his food. ואחר שניזונו גופך ונפשך על ידי אכילת מזון שזן ופרנס אותנו על ידי התורה. Now once a person has fulfilled his bodily needs and he's eaten that which he needs to eat in order to give sustenance to his physical being and he's learned the Torah, אל תהיה כפוי טוב לגזול את השם. Don't be one who is lacking in thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Utavrech lo birchat hamazon besimcha yitera. He should pray the birchat hamazon with tremendous happiness, thanking God for the wonderful meal that stands before him. K'mishim mekabel matana miyad zilato. As one who has just received a fantastic present from another. V'zeh she'omrim birchat nodelecha. And that's part of the Birchat HaMazon, that we thank in the Kaddish Baruch, we thank in Kaddish Baruch for the Torah that He taught us and the food that He has provided for us. And in reward of this, and a reward of saying thank you to Kaddish Baruch for the great good He's done, by recognizing that what you have is from Him, in reward for that, Rav Chaim Vital tells us that the treasuries of good should be open to you, and you should always find sustenance in your hand without end, widely spread upon your table all the good of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. אחר כך תחפץ בלבך אם תוכל לקיים איזו מצווה חדשה להשלים רמח עברי נפשך או מצווה ישנה להוסיף שכרך. Afterwards, a person should look into his heart and think, if there is a mitzvah, a new mitzvah that he can fulfill from the 248 mitzvot, or the 365 lota say that he can be particular regarding himself, that he can take an opportunity to increase upon that which he does for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it so increase upon his reward. Then go to work. Shlema. or go do your business that you need to do, your transactions, but do them all faithfully. Not with any kind of trickery. Not with any kind of sly movements, but in truth. A person should only look to do that which he needs to do at the bare minimum to get by in terms of his financial side. Don't make one's life the running after riches. Make it that your time is dedicated for Torah, that you try and limit every possible direction for work in order to be able to dedicate it for the sake of learning. And that your all your work and all that which you do is just something that's part of your life. When somebody asks you, what do? Your answer should be, learn Torah. You want to know how I make money to be able to put food on my table? That's another issue. But what do? Who am I? Oh, I'm a Ben Torah. I'm a Bat Torah. I'm someone who follows God's will. I'm someone who's dedicating himself to God, who's learning his Torah. Ki amarbe lo hedif v'hamit lo echzid. The reality is, in the end, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu provides for everyone. And what you need will be provided in a smaller time if you're using the rest of your time for God's will. If you're using the rest of the time for learning Torah or for dealing with the needs of the community, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will find a way to provide. V'al tekabel matanot. Don't accept presents. Don't accept presents from others. Don't live your life looking for everybody else to be responsible for you. Be responsible for yourself. Ki sone matanot yichyeh, because the one that hates presents, that hates gifts, that is the one that will live. Vashem morishu mashir. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that makes one rich and another poor. He's the one that's going to give you the strength to do what you need to do. Throw all your burdens, throw all that which you need into a Kadosh Baruch Hu's lap. It's God, I need to be able to eat if I'm going to learn your Torah. My children need to eat if they're to grow up to be Bnei Torah. Throw that on God's lap. It's his responsibility. And he tells you it's his responsibility. It is my responsibility. God tells you, no, I will provide for them. Give me the tickets, give me the bills, and I'll take care of them. Do that with all your heart. And you'll just be showing up to work, so to speak, to receive the check. Of course, you have to work honestly, do that which you need to do. You'll see, if you live a course of life trusting in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he is going to provide for you. You'll find that in a little time you'll be able to do much. But it all starts with honestly working towards a goal of your entire life being dedicated for Torah. And work just something that happens during the day. And then that's exactly the way things will be. Work will be just something that happens during the day. But your life will be a life of Torah. Your entire day should be filled with awe. A recognizing of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world, in all places. When you're at work, God is there too. No matter where you go, God is there. By recognizing his presence, being there at all times, the awe that should be coming from that, the experience that you should have at the recognition that this is a Kadosh Baruch Hu's world, that should enter into your heart and protect you from all sin during the day. And in particular, apply this sense of awe. Not just of protecting against the details of the sins, but also of one's character. that one's entire character and being should be aligned with God's will, that he should relate to others in the way that Hashem relates to us. When a person's midot are off, it's the enzyme. As Rav Chaim Vital says to us, it's the yeast and the bread. It's what makes everything rise. It's what makes things happen of an evil nature. And in particular, a person should look into each and every one of these midot that he knows himself to trample on the most, and center in upon those to protect and guard himself.